America. Kate Delaney hanging out with you here on America Tonight. Traditionally, this is a big time for vacations for probably many of you. And I'm wondering, I got a bunch of notes from people who had gone to some interesting places this summer so far. Some of you actually going to national parks and others deciding to just do that staycation thing. Now, that was the big headline heading into the summer, that people were going to do more staycations. So which are you? Are you the staycation, or are you actually save every year, and is there a specific place where you go with your family? And either way, it's all good, right, if you have a couple of days to just chill and hang out with your friends or your family. It's all good. This was big news earlier in the week, and the big news is that an ex-Bush guy was actually nominated and confirmed as the FBI director. 40 days after the president nominated James Comey as the FBI director, the Senate approved the appointment of the former deputy attorney general, who actually worked, as I said, under George W. Bush, or at least in that administration anyway. And the vote came after Senator Rand Paul, who was opposing this, just dropped his opposition to confirm him. So the path was clear. They voted on it. It was interesting. It was a 93-1 vote. Rand Paul was the only one who voted against it. Now, Paul's objection, he blocked the confirmation vote, demanding an answer. If you remember, earlier in the summer, he's demanding an answer from the attorney general about the drone use of surveillance drones in the United States. Holder's office eventually responded. He did the whole filibuster thing. So Paul, not happy still with the whole clarification, I think, on the drone deal. The FBI responded to his question twice, they say, as of last week, saying they acquire a warrant before using a drone when they suspect somebody of a reasonable expectation of, privacy. They say they suspect an individual has a reasonable expectation of privacy. But Rand Paul sent another letter Thursday asking for more clarification on the FBI's understanding of a reasonable expectation of privacy. So he's right about that, though, in the sense where you group those words together. And what does it mean when, you're the target? And that's that whole civil liberties thing. Do we really want to be a nation where we get closer and closer to the point where somebody could just be sitting at a cafe somewhere in the middle of one of our cities and they'd be taken out by a drone, which, of course, is a ridiculous stretch, but ridiculous things happen when you let them happen. So questioning reasonable expectation of privacy, I think, is an interesting thing that Rand Paul threw up as the blockade. But doesn't matter again here. It just moves forward. And then Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Patrick Leahy called on senators to support the vote so the FBI could have a confirmed director before Congress breaks, because they do the month-long August recess, of course. And then, Robert Mueller is done in September. That's it. I mean, this guy's been in through a couple of different administrations, Republican and Democrat, 12 years in that role. So, it's too big of a deal to sit and wait and wait and wait and not have that spot filled, especially in the world that we live in these days anyway. The confirmation process has become rather interesting, I think, with some of the people, one, who have been thrown up and then thrown up for different positions, and then ultimately how they go about doing that without a doubt, right? All right, coming up this hour here on America Tonight, we got a great hour for you, looking back at a couple of things that we were concerned about, like fracking. And so many people are, and this is another thing where people are either pro-fracking or not. And a lot of times it depends on where you live, what's going on, and how close it is to you. And then we talked to one of our favorites, Colonel Spain, who doesn't get any better than this. This guy pulls no punches, and he has plenty to say about some of the mistakes that we made in Iraq, and are there similarities in some of the things that have happened in in Egypt. You know, every day I wake up, I know, I say this on the show, what's happening today in the sands of the Middle East? What kind of iffy situation are we trying to navigate, and how involved are we going to get this time around, you know? How are we invested militarily in some sense? Is it weapons? Is it something else that we're supporting here? Is it monetarily? Because, you know, the outrage over how much money, some people feel that we're giving Egypt too much money, which I would raise my hand. I'm in that category. $1.5 billion is just way too much when we see what's happened, you know, with us struggling in the United States with the crazy deficit that, you know, that we're struggling with. All right, something else I wanted to throw in here at the top, since I'm from the South Jersey, Philadelphia area. I've talked about this before, that I just cannot tell you, and I know that there are firefighters that listen to the show, how much respect I have for volunteer firemen and firemen in general. It's the most dangerous job in the world. And it was so sad to me to hear about the row houses that collapsed when an explosion hit a neighborhood in Philly earlier this week. 8 people, boom, in hospitals. And how frightening is this with the natural gas? And that's what it was. Natural gas caused the blast, and three homes in all were just blown apart by it. It looks like a tornado slammed into the house. And, of course, you've got firefighters that respond, you know, immediately, as soon as anything happens, they're there. I mean, regardless for what possibly can happen to them, they're combing the houses, looking for people, trying to find anyone they can, pulling, you know, the scene that I can remember hearing about in my head by someone who described it to me in Philly was the buildings being buckled and firefighters hosing down a man who had been burned, that they, you know, whatever they could do to try to help this guy. And that there was this image also of a baby being thrown out the window because the girl was on fire, and a fireman had to catch the baby and did exactly that. And they said there was like no dry eyes. Of course there wasn't as you're watching something like that happen. So what a sad, awful, you know, awful thing. So in Philadelphia, you wonder, and this is gas service on the street. They said it is, of course, now shut off, but it was just a month or so ago. And I know we've mentioned this, the four-story wall of a vacant building in Philly collapsed on a Salvation Army thrift store, and that killed 6 people and injured 13 others. And what happened ultimately there, they charged the crane operator with involuntary manslaughter and some other charges, too. And that was a frightening thing. You know, with these old buildings and some of these old neighborhoods, you wonder about, again, the viability when they're starting to rip neighborhoods up, or what's going on with lines, like in this case, the gas line. What had happened here, of course, they're looking deeper into it, but just that image of people, one guy being hosed down, and then the poor woman who threw the baby out the window, who is in serious condition in a Philadelphia hospital. All right, hang with us. I'll meet you on the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
This for a long time now. Of course, Iraq and whether or not it's going to explode again, you know, that was my concern all the way through this as I've been doing America Tonight, you know, pretty much midway through that war and forward. And then what's happening in Afghanistan, of course, and Egypt and what we're seeing in the possibility with Egypt. Retired U.S. Army Colonel Ted Spain joins us, and we've talked to him once before in the past. He was a terrific guest. And he knows very well Iraq. He was there in the invasion. He commanded the 18th Military Police. He wrote a book that was published in March. We had him on then, titled Breaking Iraq, The 10 Mistakes That Broke Iraq. And I'll tell you, he was caught there right in the middle of that storm. Colonel, thanks so much again for coming back on with us here on America Tonight.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate the opportunity.
So now we see what's happening in that country, and it seems as though we're like, I don't know, a bunch of ostriches and burying our heads in the sand. But it seems to me that the Iraqis are almost hell-bent on going after each other's throats. And, of course, we know the various religious factions that play a part in it. What do you see happening there, and how troubling is it to you?
Well, I think there's a lot of similarities actually between Iraq and Egypt and a lot of the other troubled areas over there. But specifically on Iraq, if you just look what's happened in the last couple of months, they've had about 600 people killed. And as you know, they're in the Ramadan season. There's been about 250 people killed just since Ramadan started. Now, that's near and dear to me. I lost two of my 13 soldiers were during Ramadan. And the intel back in 2003 said actually they were going to back off the attacks because of their religious beliefs. And, in fact, they did the exact opposite. They came very heavy after us. And they're doing that right now, even as we speak, in Iraq. And really troublesome over the weekend, if you saw that, they actually attacked the Abu Ghraib prison. Of course, I'm the one that was responsible for opening that back in 2003, but they attacked the prison there, killed 29, and then attacked an army patrol over the weekend and killed a 26 up in Mosul. So the violence is back to the 2007-2008 levels, but I still believe the similarities in all of those countries is has got to be a political solution. The Sunnis still do not feel that they're a legitimate part of the government in Iraq, and they're about to make the same mistake in Egypt by excluding the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, so you say it's political, that it, to fix this, it has to be through diplomatic channels?
Absolutely, ma'am. And that's hard for a retired military person to say. I mean, the military, you know, the military is just an element of power that the president has, regardless of who the president is. I testified up, or actually made a presentation in Washington, D.C. the end of April on this very subject here. The government brought me up there, met with a lot of government agencies, and they're trying to determine how they transition to get the military out of it and hand it over to the government and the non-government agencies, but also stand up a legitimate government. Look at the mess we're in Egypt, because that president that was removed by coup, we can call it what we want to call it, that was a military coup any way you look at it, he was a democratically elected president, certainly not the one that we wanted. So we really have a mess there in Egypt.
We're speaking with retired U.S. Army Colonel Ted Spain. And Colonel, you know, I mentioned the book, and you talk about the mistakes that happened in Iraq. Are we seeing the same problems, and you sort of said this in the beginning, that are segging into Egypt? Have we learned anything from Iraq that could be applied in some way to the situation we're now seeing in Egypt?
I can only, obviously I don't have inside information. I can only hope that we've learned a little something, because we don't have boots on the ground there in Egypt or Syria, because that's the next place that's going to blow up is there in Syria. And it seems to be we a little bit more careful before we send in the troops, because once you send the troops in, once we entered Iraq in March of 2003, there was no turning back. As I said in the book, that's where the title of the book, Breaking Iraq, we broke Iraq, and we didn't have a plan to put it back together. And at least now, since what I learned in D.C., what we have achieved in the last 10 years, we've now accepted the fact, which is exactly what I wrote about in the book, about how important the rule of law is in standing up a government. And we couldn't figure that out back in 2003. And that also helped fuel that insurgency that started back in 2003. So I would like to say that we are learning the lessons. We also, you hear a lot about the $1.3 billion that we give Egypt each year. Well, see, 10 years ago, that was about 7% of their economy. Now it's only 0.7%. So we really don't have a lot of leverage financially in Egypt like we used to have.
Yeah. In your opinion, is that money that we need to keep putting into it, as you just were describing, what it is now compared to what it was, or no?
Well, you know, we actually, I'm not sure how we're getting around this, but we actually have a U.S. law that says we got to cut off aid if there's any country that the head of the government was disposed by a military coup. Now, we've chosen to say that was not a military coup in Egypt. Okay, if that's what we want to call it. But that was a military coup. And another interesting point is Iraq is watching that. A lesson learned that Iraq's picking up by watching Egypt is they don't want to have a military that's so powerful. And that's where that money, that $1.3 billion for the whole time we supported Mubarak, that was going essentially towards that military. And they served us very well. I mean, look where Egypt is, and look where Israel is, and look what's going on now with Hezbollah. I mean, that is a mess over there, and I don't think putting troops on the ground is the right answer at this point. Hopefully we did learn that lesson from Iraq and Afghanistan, but I'm not sure. We don't do a very good job of learning our lessons.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that, interesting news broke that kind of went under the wire. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs said today that he wants a security agreement with the Afghans signed by this fall, in fact, by October, to give NATO time to get ready for post-2014 for that presence in Afghanistan. And as you know, the Joint Chiefs chairman is General Martin Dempsey, and he told the reporters in Kabul that agreement would give the United States and allies, you know, our allies, a year to do that for the post-military presence, as I just said, to make that transition, as you were talking about, a different transition, of course, on the Hill in April. And one of the quotes that was interesting is he said, militarily, I would like to understand the future more clearly through the bilateral security agreement sometime between now and October. Was this a smart move on his part?
Well, I talk a lot about General. I worked for General Dempsey in Iraq, and I think the world of him. But, you know, of course, he's at the highest level right now, and he's a military guy, but he's still got to play the politics. We all know that this is about the midterm elections coming up next year. In fact, I I think about General Dempsey all the time and just wonder the dilemma that he is in right now, where he's got to support the politics of all of this, but he's still a military person at heart. And I just don't know of any military person that behind the scenes think that's a good idea to pull the troops out next year. But I understand the impact of the midterm elections. But look at what happened in Iraq. We've been out of Iraq 18 months, and we're now back at violence levels that was back in 2007, 2008. I believe, unfortunately, the same thing will happen in Afghanistan once we pull the troops out of there.
Yeah. So somebody who was in the military and you saw, you know, war obviously firsthand, you were in the middle of chaos. When you put your head on the pillow at night, Colonel, what bothers you the most? Is there something that sticks with you? If there's something that's going to explode or something we should be worried about, what would it be to you?
You mean today or back 10 years ago?
No, I mean today.
Well, today, I can tell you what I worry about every night is those soldiers. There's been over 4,500 soldiers that lost their lives just in Iraq, another couple thousand there in Afghanistan. And I've attended two reunions, even since I talked to you last, and met with soldiers that are affected by life, some physically, some emotionally. Their lives will never be the same. And I'll tell you what I worry about every night when I put my head on the pillow is those. And it's interesting now, I'm meeting them 10 years later. So I'm spending time, in some cases I'm meeting their wives, I'm meeting their husbands, I'm meeting their children, obviously none of which I saw on the streets of Baghdad. And they're 10 years older, they were 18 to 21, most of them now, they're 28 to 31. And I have been absolutely amazed, astonished by how that war has affected these people, that they, and myself included. I have learned a lot about myself attending these reunions, and these are scars that we will carry the rest of our life. And the thing that I worry about is that this is all going to be in vain. And it's just absolutely terrible to use the military for political reasons, and I understand everything's politic. All wars are political. But then to send those soldiers home physically and mentally scarred, and then find out that, or believe, or come to a conclusion that it was all in vain. That's what I worry about every night.
Yeah. Colonel, thank you so much for sharing that. Retired U.S. Army Colonel Ted Spain, pick up his book. It's terrific, Breaking Iraq, The 10 Mistakes That Broke Iraq, published, of course, as we said, just this spring. It's really a good, good book. I read it. You'll love it. Pick it up. Thanks. Thanks. We appreciate it so much, Colonel.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those great nooks and crannies in between. We've talked about this a lot. We've talked about, oil and gas fracking and then what happens in between and what about the dirty water and cleaning the dirty water. There have been lots of documentaries and things done on it and there's concerns and, you know, I've talked about, I had family members, that were in, actually in the fracking business and I learned a lot about the industry. So, it's a huge expense to the oil and gas industry when you're talking about getting rid of the dirty water that flows that comes back out of the ground during that fracking process. Paul Schlossberg joins us now from Water Rescue Services. Paul, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I would assume you are a very busy person because there is a lot of fracking going on, and this is something whose time has come because there was a lot of problems in cleaning up some of these sites and actually, you know, figuring out what to do with that dirty water. So explain to us the technology that you do at Water Rescue Services.
Our technology is based on a 100-year-old or 100-plus-year-old theory called electrocoagulation. We just fortunately were able to hit the exact magic formula that others could not do, and it has allowed us not only to achieve a position in the industry to clean up all this water that was taken for granted or slung around in various places, but it allowed the U.S. Patent Office to issue us two patents. So we were able to tweak it, and what we are able to do is pull up to the site, and we will return to the operator somewhere between as little as 95% and as much as 97% of every barrel of water they provide us for treatment.
Wow. The process and how you work on that process, has it gotten more refined? Or as you say, this is a process, what did you say, over 100 years old? I would imagine there's been some changes along the way. What are some of the little nuances?
Well, it's constant tweaking and constant understanding. We were honestly a little naive. We felt like the industry would jump all over this the minute they heard it was ready for prime time.
Right.
But interesting, as sophisticated and intelligent as this industry is and will continue to be, they've been a little slower to react because they have been using the same methodology for so many years. Water was taken for granted, fresh water. It was cheap, it was plentiful, and it was just easy to get it. Now it's not. But as we have been approached and as we have been engaged by various well-known companies in various geographic regions of the country, we've also learned that every one of these regions and sectors, no surprise, has very different nuances to their water. So not only are we continually tweaking the process, but you're continually tweaking the treatment, the methodology and the treatment on a day-to-day basis because of the water variances in each geographic region.
Yeah. You talked about the couple of patents. Boy, that's a wild process. Did it take a long time to go through the whole patent thing?
Yes, about a year.
Mm.
And,
wow.
And honestly, we were fortunate. Apparently, the U.S. Patent Office has started a new program. Heretofore, it would take 3 to 5 years. They now have a program where you can pay some extra money and get expedited attention. And we were fortunate enough to fall into that window, and we got immediate attention. Probably didn't hurt that we were submitting something that was of high visibility and very, hot nature topic. But
sure, that
just
people
to give
were
you a flavor, if I could offer this up, the average site, medium-sized site, will use somewhere as little as 80,000 barrels of water and upwards of 200,000 barrels. To give you a comparison, each barrel in this industry, in this function, is 42 gallons.
Wow.
So you're talking 4, 5, 6 million gallons of water that heretofore was thrown away after one use.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. After one use, and that... You know, that's been going on for a long time,
yes,
hasn't it? So, you know, you think about
this. And the other item that probably many of the listeners are not familiar with this term. It is starting to emerge more and more and more because of the status of our municipalities and our county governments. But all of these governmental bodies are measuring a term called ton miles, which is, what is the wear and tear on our infrastructure of 1 ton being moved 1 mile across our roadways, which gives them an indication of how much more taxes they're going to have to raise and how much more road work and repair and replacement. And simply in a four-month period, to give you a reference point, using our system only for 4 months, on a very low number of barrels per day, very low number, we would reduce 10 million ton miles of wear and tear on the infrastructure. And we would reduce about 500,000 pounds of CO2 emissions into the air because you're removing all those trucks.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would imagine that there are people all over the country that are really taking a close look at this. You know, Water Rescue Services, for everybody listening across the country, of course, is in Fort Worth. You've patented. We talked about that, how long it's taken. Do you have your product, I'll call it that, now in other parts of the country? Where are you? Because there's fracking going on all over the place.
Yes. The primary focus right now of our time, energy, and our systems is obviously Texas, West Texas, where there's a fairly notable and alarming water shortage. South Texas, which you have a mixture of that. We are in Pennsylvania. We have been in West Virginia before, and we have been operating in Colorado.
Yeah. I can only imagine, because we're, you know, you're talking about, as soon as you started telling me about the tonnage, but also the amount of water that was being thrown away, what's been the reaction to this? It has to be positive, I would think.
Oh, yes. The industry seems to move a little slower than one would expect or hope, but they're being very cautious. You know, they've got enormous amounts of capital being committed to these wells, and it's obviously a very difficult and tricky situation. So they can't just take anybody who walks in the door and says, hey, I can clean your water, and you can go back down hole with it. You know, it's real critical. So they have to go through a series of investigations and due diligence and tests. And that takes, you know, weeks and months, but it's worthwhile and it's prudent on their part. And, you know, the larger the oil company, the more voices and more checkoffs are required. So, it's not plug and play overnight, but it doesn't take years to get them involved. And now that you're seeing more and more alarming water shortages beginning to escalate to the surface, to right in front of us, it's gone from us calling them to them calling us.
Yeah, there you go. We're speaking with Paul Schlossberg, of course, Water Rescue Services. Paul, the amount of manpower, on your end, what does it take to do the process?
Our system is mobile. We can move it around behind a pickup. It only really requires one person to operate it. We always have two out there for safety reasons. A larger installation might take three or four, but it's a very small amount of manpower, and it's fairly automated, and it's highly mechanized and measured, and there's a lot of oversight.
Yeah, boy, that certainly makes sense. When somebody, you talk about Pennsylvania, you talk about all over West Texas and water shortages and whatnot. Once somebody decides they're going to do it and they do it, is it immediate? Is it a eureka moment once they realize what they're doing water-wise and what they're saving?
Generally, yes. Very much so. What they enjoy by using this is somewhere between as little as a 40% savings up to as high as 60% savings on their water.
Wow. That's
now,
pretty
interestingly
big.
Enough, you know, there's two kinds of water going down there. The water they inject down there to frack the well, and then when you fracture these formations, you're releasing water. And this water's been down there for what? A million or 10 million years or whatever?
Yeah.
You don't know what what's going to flow back. So you're always adjusting and treating, and the industry is beginning to do what you've just done. Wow. This really is a value add.
Oh, absolutely. You can tell from the financial sense, and also with what we're doing to our municipalities. We're talking about the trucks, the damage, all that kind of stuff, what you're saving all the way around. Interesting, very, very interesting stuff. Paul, thanks for coming on the show. I enjoyed it. We'll have you on again.
Thank you for inviting me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All across America, it's happening. People are taking charge of their lives. And healthy diets are a cornerstone of healthy living. That's why you have to experience the Raleigh Gluten-Free Expo. One day only. Saturday, August 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Durham Convention Center in Raleigh, North Carolina. Explore the gluten and allergen-free wellness event where learning is fun and delicious. Sample and buy products from over 50 vendors. Discover the world of gluten-free with cooking demonstrations and enjoy lectures with well-known members of the gluten-free community. Enter the raffle, and you could win the grand prize of a catered barbecue from Bonesuckin' Sauce, valued at $3,000. The Raleigh Gluten-Free Expo, Saturday, August 17th at the Durham Convention Center. For more, visit raleighglutenfreeexpo.blogspot.com. raleighglutenfreeexpo.blogspot.com. Presented by Udi's Gluten-Free, Glutino, Enjoy Life Foods, and Youngevity.
If you want to approach companies with your invention, the first step is to secure your patent rights. We are Russ Weinzimmer and Associates, a national law firm dedicated to helping you get strong protection for your invention. Already selling a product based on your invention? There may still be time to lock in your rights. Just call us at 800-621-3654 for your confidential free consultation. Or visit strategicpatentlaw.com. That's strategicpatentlaw.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
How often are we talking about crazy trips being used as things that aren't part of the job? In other words, with the government, your dime, my dime, taxpayer money. So here we go again. Cause of Action got their hands on some documents revealing that the DHS Acting Inspector General Charles Edwards has potentially misused public money, public resources, abusing travel funds. And there's more to that. There's more to the story than I'm already painting the picture here, some of the trips. So who do we have in the wings but Dan Epstein, of course, Cause of Action's executive director. Dan, so here we go again. You and I, in the years that we've spoken, often this is one of the things that bubbles up with trips. You know, we saw it before with the Vegas extravaganza when we're talking about general services. Now, here we go with Charles Edwards. What did you find in the materials that you got your hands on?
So what Cause of Action was actually initially looking for when we were submitting Freedom of Information Act requests to the Department of Homeland Security was to see kind of in the vein of the GSA scandal, how much money was this agency spending on promotional items and gag gifts and all these other sorts of things. And we got into this weird battle with the Inspector General's office because they claimed that they didn't spend any money on any of those gifts, even though we had documents clearly indicating that they had. And so based off that FOIA battle, insiders within the agencies and former employees of that agency came forward to us with indications that this inspector general had misused federal dollars, had misused his position of public trust. And so we engaged in a Freedom of Information Act request on these items. Ultimately, the inspector general's office never responded. So we sued them, and we have now started to get documents trickling out that reveal that this inspector general took trips to Florida to complete a PhD. He had his employees help write his dissertation. He had his wife go on sabbatical in India and use taxpayer dollars to travel there and have the taxpayers pay for her expensive international phone plan. This is an inspector general that very clearly likes to profit off the American people.
Here's what I don't get. You'd have to know when you're in this position, especially if you add up the things that have happened in the past. How could you not know that this could leak out? Or this could come to light. I don't understand that.
You know, Kate, for me, it's very difficult. I worked on a House Oversight Committee where we really viewed ourselves as working hand in hand with the inspector generals. I mean, these guys are supposed to be the beacons of accountability and ethics in our federal government. And so it's very difficult to even wrap one's head around the idea that a chief audit officer, a chief ethics officer would be doing things like this. I actually think it's fairly unheard of. I've never, in my experience, looking at these issues in Washington, have ever seen an inspector general acting this way. So I wouldn't be surprised if this guy thought, you know, no one's going to really be watching the watchdogs, and so I could probably get away with these things.
Yeah, and you know, it's what's interesting too about this is a lot of times this is when someone will bail when they get squeezed because you were asking for the information earlier and you didn't get it, so then you filed the Freedom of Information, you know, you use that, the Freedom of Information Act, and this is what happens. But they were denying the documents to begin with, so usually when they're denying the documents, I mean, maybe we shouldn't assume that, but don't automatically red flags sort of go up?
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. We knew based off conversations with insiders that there were certain documents that existed. So when the DHS office, you know, never actually produced the documents timely, it wasn't a question that they had a letter say, oh, we don't have those documents. They just never responded, which is an indication that they're trying to engage in a delay tactic. Also, we sued them. And I think for the most part, these federal agencies don't expect to get sued. And that's, in this case, a clear option that we decided to use in order to get some transparency and shed some light on the situation.
So usually when you do this, and we've talked about this too before, people will call up and they'll say, oh, what happened with that? And what happened with Kathleen Sebelius? And I know they're going in this direction. They're looking at all these other things, and they're a watchdog organization. So when you go after someone like, I'm going to say go after, someone like the DHS Acting Inspector General Charles Edwards, you're still digging every day, and this is something that's on the shelf that you're watching and just seeing. You know, you're just being diligent about watching to see what happens with this. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, Kate. I mean, this, I've actually known Charles Edwards for years now, and this guy will not go down without a fight. Part of the whole irony of why Cause of Action, my organization, actually looked specifically at promotional item spending is when I was on the House Oversight Committee doing an investigation that involved FEMA, Charles Edwards was even back then the deputy inspector general. And based off an investigation, I remember he handed me two golden coins, of course, paid by the American taxpayers, as a token of my, I guess, goodwill in assisting with their investigation. And then, of course, you know, 2 years later, when I asked for him to disclose all expenditures on promotional items, including coins, he said no such spending has ever occurred, even though I was holding in my hand two coins that he had given me. So this is a guy who is very sophisticated at Washington political rhetoric and avoiding accountability. And he'll say, you know, he's already said to the media, he said before the Huffington Post, there's nothing that I did wrong. I'm happy to share documents, which, of course, is not true. But, you know, he's not going to go down without a fight. And I think that this is something where Cause of Action is going to consistently monitor this. And we're going to hold his feet to the fire. We want your listeners to know exactly what's happening with this guy, because this is not where our tax dollars should be going. There's lots of problems with the Department of Homeland Security, the least of which is an inspector general.
Yeah, the whole nepotism charges, I guess that stems from, you mentioned his wife. Was there anything else that, that was because what happened with his wife is that she took a, I guess, a bunch of different, as you mentioned, the top, a bunch of different jaunts, right, to Florida?
Yeah, you know, it's not just the trips to Florida for his wife or her trips to India. He also was responsible for her getting hired in the first place, which, you know, is a, I mean, there's federal laws on the books that say you don't hire, you know, your spouse or your child or whatever. But I think one of the things that Cause of Action is actually very concerned about is there has been some indication from insiders that have come forward to us. This hasn't yet been produced by the documents they're releasing as part of the litigation. But apparently, Edwards, there is a whistleblower complaint filed against him for retaliation for prohibited personnel practices. And Edwards actually apparently destroyed the complaint, which is not only really, really bad from an ethics standpoint. You're supposed to be the top watchdog of your agency, and you're destroying whistleblower complaints. But it turns out that if you actually destroy documents, you violate something called the Federal Records Act. And actually, being shown to have intentionally destroyed documents may actually be something that could be a prosecutable offense. It could be this guy into some jail time. So we're not just talking about wasteful spending. We're talking about a guy who appears to have willfully violated the law as well.
Yeah, crazy. You know, I've always wanted to ask you this question. We come on and we're talking about similar things, different agencies, different maybe pieces of the puzzle, but government waste and tax dollars being thrown out the window. Of the years that you've done this specific job, what was the most egregious to you, Dan?
That's a tough question. You know, we are actually looking at the Department of Veterans Affairs right now. And we're actually looking at how a certain administrator used P-card expenses. And I think the most egregious to me is we've seen at least, I think, three examples, whether it's the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Veterans Affairs, or the Department of Interior, where federal employees who have these P-cards, which are credit cards, that they're supposed to charge reasonable administrative expenses on, these have been credit cards that have virtually signaled the opportunity for a shopping spree on the taxpayer dime. And it's not just egregious to me from the perspective of an enormous amount of waste of federal government dollars, but just this mindset that, you know, we often hear in the news that it's Wall Street and business that's greedy. But to me, the greediest people in this country are federal bureaucrats who totally abuse the public fisc for a private benefit.
Yeah, and somehow they continue to get away with it. I don't understand that, because we see the approval ratings of Congress keep going down, down, and down. And I just think the public is, they're sick of it. It's just, okay, well, this is what we expect. And I guess that's why you just have to be so diligent on keeping on top of all this stuff. And if somebody's not hammering, if you're not hammering, other organizations aren't doing that, then it'll just continue to be the same old thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not like our federal government's getting any smaller. It's getting bigger.
No.
Fraud's increasing. The abuse is increasing. And, you know, it's a dirty job, but someone has to do it.
Yeah, no kidding. Dan Epstein, Cause of Action, thanks a lot. We'll keep our eye on this one. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
What does freedom mean to you? How about the freedom to take control of your own future? At eFoods Direct, we're again celebrating Food Freedom Month. In July, for every $329 you spend on our highly nutritious, great-tasting food, you will receive a $190 Patriot Pack free. For example, purchase a six-month supply and get three Patriot Packs free. The Patriot Pack is a 24-day supply of eFoods quick-fix, easy-to-store food, plus stove, fuel, and cook pot. All in an easy-to-carry bucket. Patriot Packs are the ideal grab-and-go emergency kit for your car or to have by the back door. Perfect for your cabin or camping trip this summer, or even simply to add more food to your supply free. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack with purchase. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. And remember, free shipping every day.